Welcome to the Bart Winkler Show podcast.
Great to be with you. I am Bart Winkler. It is the Bart Winkler Show. 888-710-4ISN. 888-710-4476. The moment you have all been waiting for. I am going to talk about schedules. I'm actually going to bring up one specific schedule to start, and then we can go wild and crazy kids about it. But this bothers me every year. I don't know why they continue to do it. I don't know if there's a good reason for them to not be able to. I don't get it. And I am talking about the WNBA. All right? I'm talking about the WNBA. The WNBA is a fine league. I think that some in the league need to recognize that Caitlin Clark is a positive and not try to, like, get one up on her every time. It seems odd. But I also think the WNBA does things to get in their own way. And the thing that bothers me the most is their playoffs. Their playoffs go directly up against NFL football. Why do they do that? TV Sports Updates on Twitter took a look at ESPN's advanced schedule and found the slots that ABC and ESPN have right now for their playoffs. And a lot of these games end up being on Sundays. Okay? A lot of these games end up being on Sundays, which we are watching football. And I'm not saying, like, just with the WNBA, but anything else. Baseball suffers from it too. Baseball. I've made arguments that baseball should end by Labor Day. That would actually kind of blow. October's sweet. But it is, like, it is hard. It is hard to take it all in. But then, you know, oh, it's so much going on. Yeah. But it's, you lose track of some of the baseball games on the days that football's on. You do lose track of that. There was a time when the NFL did not play a Sunday night game during the World Series in respect to baseball. They stopped doing that once they became the big man in town. Once they became the big man in town, they stopped doing that. So let me take a look at the WNBA tentative playoff schedule and ask you if you, the casual sports fan, who, and you're somebody who wants to, like, you try to watch the WNBA, I would generalize, wrongly or correctly, that the average WNBA fan or the average sports fan is just, like, right around where I am with the WNBA. I don't watch it a lot. Sometimes I will check the standings and scores to see what's up. If I'm scrolling and there's, like, a game that is being promoted well on social media, I might see, you know, I could turn the channel to it. Some of the big weekend games, you know, Sky Fever, typically that one. If I'm home, I threw it on. I watched the first time they played this year, me and my kid watched the whole thing. So, now, granted, I do talk about it a little more if stories come up, because that's the job, as Mike and DC helped me work through before. But I would be interested as the season goes on to kind of check out, like, certainly the finals and certainly some of the playoffs. So let's see. The first round of the playoffs, the game ones. So we get through the regular season, and it's game one, okay? There's four games on. ESPN and ABC, kind of a quadruple header. And the playoffs start Sunday, September 14th. What are we going to be doing Sunday, September 14th at 4 o'clock? Are we going to be watching WNBA playoffs, or are we going to be watching Philadelphia at Kansas City Super Bowl rematch? What are you doing? The semifinals. Game one. Slated 3 o'clock and 5 o'clock Eastern the following week. You going to be watching the WNBA playoffs, or are you going to be watching Denver at the Chargers, Dallas at Chicago, Arizona at San Fran, Kansas City at the Giants? What? Game five, right now, on ESPN's schedule, game five, depending on the schedule of the MLB wildcard, game five of the WNBA semifinals are scheduled to be on ESPNU. Why? Because not only do they get a backseat to the NFL, but they're going to get a backseat to the Major League Baseball's playoffs. Then you get into the actual finals itself. The actual finals themselves, which are in the middle of October, which are right on when football is on. What are we going to watch then? We're going to watch football. You tell me you want to watch WNBA or do you want to watch football? I'm going to say, you want to ask me that again, boss? And like, seriously this time? With all due. The WNBA Finals, game one last year between the Lynx and the Liberty, was on a Thursday night. Thursday night football. Niners beat the Seahawks. What did you watch? Game two was Sunday afternoon. What were some games that day? Chargers, Broncos, Lions, Cowboys. What did you watch? Game three, I think game three. Game three was on a Wednesday. Okay, good. Game three was on a Wednesday. And game four might have been on a Friday. All right, better. Game five, October 20th, the WNBA Finals. October 20th, game five, the clincher. That was on a Sunday night. And you were watching, what, Jets-Steelers wasn't in primetime, was it? I'm trying to figure out what the primetime game was. Chiefs-Niners? I don't remember that week. Lions-Vikings? Why doesn't this say? But we were watching NFL. So my proposal, I've got some quick schedule proposal changes for you, if you will. I think the WNBA, right now it starts mid-May, ends mid-October. Let's scoot this thing up. Let's scoot it up. You can start in mid-April. You start in mid-April as the NBA playoffs are starting. The WNBA is also starting. You're already competing against the NBA playoffs. Use each other to promote each other. That's good. And then you can wrap up a month earlier in September, but you are scheduling your finals games on, let's say, Tuesdays and Fridays. Some playoff games may need to happen, you know, when there's college football or NFL or college football on, good baseball game. But if you can schedule your finals as the NFL's starting and people are used to being in their TV every night, summer's over, it's back to TV. We're waiting for these days between football. Give us some WNBA finals. That's a suggestion. MLB, I've talked about this 1,000 million times. There needs to be a day game every day of the week. Figure it out. You can do it. The schedule's coming out probably in next week. In a couple of weeks, within a month, you will have the MLB schedule for next year. The stadiums must want it so they can figure out when to hold concerts and other stuff like that, I suppose. Even though arenas and NFL stadiums do just fine waiting until the last minute, baseball needs to know right away for when Chris Stapleton is going to play Fenway Park or when the Savannah Bananas are going to go there. But they just my main gripe is they print out a schedule and they say, looks good to me. Everybody played on the 4th of July this year, and it was, oh, look at baseball. No, not look at baseball. It was a Friday. Everybody plays on every Friday. They didn't do anything special. If it was a Thursday, there'd be half of the league would be off because the MLB would just spit it out and not care that this is a highly marketable, profitable day. Even Major League Soccer knows that, you big dummies. I'd go a little further. I think on the weekends, instead of a batch of games at, let's say, and I'll give you central times, 12, 3, and 6, stagger them out all day. Just stagger games out all day. And make them available. You know, MLB Network can just kind of do like a red zone-y kind of thing all day. Why do you have an MLB Network if you're not going to show MLB? They do the best job out of any of those networks showing games. They do the best job. So do that. Do that. Hey, what I know that I can turn on MLB Network at any time on a Saturday or Sunday, maybe just Saturday. I could turn on any time on a Saturday, and I know I'm going to be in a game 7th, 8th, 9th inning. I might just be home for 20 minutes. I'll just turn on MLB Network, watch the end of a game. I just came up with that one tonight. That's a good one. One thing I've been talking about a lot is Thursday night. So we're going to have the Home Run Derby on Monday. We're going to have the All-Star Game Tuesday. I think there should be one game on Thursday night. There have been in the past when teams had to make one up, and this was the only time it was desperation, but then it's the only game on TV, and now you're marketing two teams. You would probably want to see, you don't want to screw everybody over with their rest, you know. They look forward to that. So you might have to change a series where maybe they don't play on a Sunday. You give them that bonus day. Or maybe you find two teams would have to make a sacrifice. But they'd be doing it for the betterment of the league. Is that okay? I mean, the NFL sends teams to Brazil. The Rams are going to Australia. Okay? That'd be my suggestion there. Shorten the season if you want, NBA too. And then the suggestion I had last night at the end of the show with Major League Soccer is rather than one, bury your product behind a paywall, I think, and not every game, not every week, but when are Americans trained to watch soccer? We're trained to watch soccer Saturday and Sunday mornings because we're watching games from England in the Premier League. So throughout the summer, you could have every team do it one time and make a big deal out about it. Hey, it's Sunday morning. We're playing a game at 9:30 in the morning. Get up and come. And we'll air it on TV. Will you pack the stadium? Are you worried about that? Carlos, you've been to MLS games this year. That ain't the big concern about losing out on attendance.
No, not at all. I mean, I've been to five, six games, more games than I've ever been in my life. Attendance definitely is a concern for MLS.
Would you go to a game if it was 10 in the morning on a Sunday?
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah. I'd wake up at 9, watch a game. 8 o'clock, 7 o'clock, you wake up, watch it. That's what we do for the Premier League. Let's, you know, make the most of that window. You do it one time. It's a fun thing. Just like with camp days with WNBA. Just thinking outside the box here, folks. That's what I do.
Not a bad idea at all.
Al is in Arizona. What's up, Al?
Hey, what's up, Art?
Yo, yo.
Can you hear me?
Sort of.
Kind of. Can you hear me better now?
It's good enough that I'll allow it to continue.
All right, how about now?
Let's get on with the call.
With the call? Okay.
Yeah.
You don't want... All right. So, you know, Ryan Poles was again, an extension today.
Oh, I did know that.
What do you think about it?
I think that is why the Bears were number two on a new owner list I did yesterday.
I mean, I just want to throw out a couple of things. I'll try to be brief. And I want to ask you, just objectively, I hope that whatever he does, that the Bears do well. You know, just progress, not perfection. And it's not about me being right. It's about the Bears getting better. But
Ryan Poles is 39?
Is that young or old?
Younger than me. Young. I don't like that.
Okay. So you think, okay, so he's young. So when we ask you, like, when you look at what he's done the last couple of seasons, and if you were a fan, I think you'd be upset. Like, what he does is he says that he drafts the best player available, which I don't necessarily think that every player they draft is the best player available, but he ends up blowing off positions and saying, well, we'll take care of it next year. Last year he did it with defensive end, and he traded a fourth-round 2025 pick to get back in the draft last year to get Austin Booker. And Austin Booker is not necessarily ever going to be a starter. And the same thing, but to do that, by the way, he wasted a fourth-round draft pick on Torrey Taylor. And fans get mesmerized and get enrolled so easily by the team. The best punter in NCAA history, I think, is Matt Arieza. He was drafted in the sixth round. So for some reason, Ryan Poles, he doesn't value his picks like he should. Drafting Loveland with the 10th pick is irresponsible. You could have traded down and still probably got him and got another pick. Getting a sixth-round pick for Justin Fields, he's worth much more than that. He really is. Torrey Taylor in the fourth round, trade down. You still draft him, and then you could have drafted defensive end last year instead of wasting a fourth-round 2025 pick. These are my problems.
You said most of the stuff yesterday.
I know, but I'm kind of elaborating further. And so what I'm saying is that if he looked at the drafts and said that we're going to draft the best player available, but we have to get these positions. So with the first three rounds, we're going to get these positions. We're just not sure exactly at what point. And so I guess the case in point now, as I'm saying, is that I like him as a person, and I think he's good for the players. He's a likable person, and he's loyal. He's a really good guy. It's just I don't know if he's ever going to get past these idiosyncrasies that prevent him from taking the Bears to a level that they really need to go. Do you get where I'm coming from?
Yeah, I do, Al. I got to let you go. But, I, you know, with the general manager, you hire a guy, you extend him through 2029. Do we think that he's going to work out through 2029? I think the Bears have a lot going on right now, and they're just like, let's not deal with this for a while. We got to figure out where the hell we're going to play. But Al has made his concerns known. How are we doing on cuts? Are we forging ahead?
Just finished.
We got to guess what they said on a July 12th edition?
Yeah, now let me tell you, definitely was pulling teeth. And one of these cuts are from earlier in the week. But it's not a cut that I played before. So we have quality guess what they said fodder here.
That's all right. I think you can pull guess what they said from any time. I think...
Well, and I plugged that. I usually plug that too. Yeah, I plugged that too. I mean, first of all, on the Bulletin Blitz, I've played a clip from 2 weeks prior.
Yeah.
But on Guess What They Said, I always plug it on Mondays. We play the audio of the day or weekend, and on Fridays, I play the audio of the week. So it all counts. Right, well, Tuesday's the day of the week.
We are going to do that coming up next on The Bart Winkler Show.
It's The Bart Winkler Show podcast. Here at The Bart Winkler Show, we give you hot takes, hot mics, and hot guesses.
It really doesn't matter what you say, and I'm hoping that nobody on our team is playing for you.
It's the audio of the day you need and the transcript you don't.
I'm not laughing about it. You think this is funny? I take this serious.
I'm real serious.
I put my heart and soul into this every single week.
The contestants are ready.
You play to win the game. Hello?
The Bart Winkler Show proudly presents Guess What They Said.
Listen, we're talking about practice.
Not a game, not a game, not a game. We talking about practice.
Here is tonight's host, Carlos with a K.
I'm a man. I'm 40.
Almost their age, almost there. Guess what they said? Every Mondays and Fridays on the Bart Winkler Show, if Bart and I are not here, probably doesn't get done. But we're both here. So we're going to do it. A July edition of Guess What They Said, a.k.a. we are running on fumes. Football cannot come soon enough. All right, Bart. On Fridays, we get the audio of the day slash week.
I took off Friday.
Next Friday?
No, Friday. I'm just done working Friday.
Okay, cool. Well, it's a good thing it's Saturday now.
I'm just kidding.
Nah, well, here you are on a Saturday burning the midnight oil, literally, in your in time zone. It is 12:30 over there. The point of Guess What They Said, if you're new to the show, which, please, for the love of God, stay with us. Tell your friends. We could use the numbers. I will assemble the audio. I will present it to Bart in the most generic way possible, and Bart will attempt to guess what he or she said. Side note, Bart. Pat Boyle and his producer, Peter Bellotti, they have kind of stole a little bit of Guess What They Said. They have their own game. I think it debuted yesterday. I have to go back and find it. But it's basically Guess the Word.
Oh.
Yeah. And Bellotti did give us a little bit of credit for this.
He did?
Yeah. I apparently you're in their open. I have to go find it. But you are in that open. But theirs is a little bit different than Guess What They Said. So if you're not listening to the Pat Boyle Show, yeah, it's a good listen. You should check it out.
Let me say something off of that. I'm offended that more people aren't stealing this segment.
Well, we finally got people stealing it.
Yeah, it's a good segment. And I like that they took it and tweaked it to make it their own. Bravo.
Yeah, so what they're doing is they're taking audio and they're taking out a key word out of that audio. And Boyle has to guess what that word is.
Guess what I think now.
You want to steal that.
I think that might be better than this.
Absolutely not. This is the OG.
This is the only
thing that we haven't stolen from anybody else.
Oh, shoot.
I like it.
All right.
Well done for them. I'm very happy for them. I actually will go take a listen to it and see how much they did completely rip so we can sue them. Let's start with the first clip here. Let's go to DeAndre Ayton, the new center for the Los Lakers. He gets a 2-year deal. He's going to get 16 million pesos. He's actually going to get dollars, but I wanted to say pesos for some reason. And we played some clips earlier in the week, but we didn't play this one. So this is what I want you to guess what he said. I want you to guess what DeAndre Ayton had to say on what excites him most about joining La Lakers. It's 18 seconds long. Guess what DeAndre Ayton had to say.
Just the culture, man. You have to be a Laker. Being a Laker is, it's so rare. It's such an iconic brand jersey. And you get to play in front of these fans. And you get to team up with Luka. Maybe LeBron. But the gist of it is he gets to play for an iconic franchise in the LA Lakers.
Being around the two best playmakers in the league and just, Laker Nation, just having a fan base is, just behind them is insane. I've never seen it before. Yeah. And just to be a part of it, knowing that the winning legacy that this organization has, I know the expectations and I know that winning is a lot. It means a lot here.
I would have felt better if you said a little bit more legacy, but iconic is close enough. We're playing horseshoes and hand grenades. You get a point.
Yeah, if I didn't get that. I had a friend tell me who listens to the show. He says, I know you, Bart, and I can tell. Like, the one time you really get mad at Carlos is when he judges you and you don't like how he judges you.
Yeah.
I said, the other day you didn't even listen to my answer.
Sure didn't, but I can never tell if we're still going to be a show whenever Guess What They Said concludes until I tell you you're clear and you're like, be right back, in the most happy, jovial voice ever. So I'm like, okay, well, water under the bridge. It seems like if we were in the same studio for Guess What They Said, you might have thrown a punch.
Well, we've had disagreements about what I think the answer should be if I got it right or not and what you did. And I what's helped me through this is I realize you're not like doing anything wrong, or you're not like trying to goad me or anything. I realize you're just bad at being a judge.
Maybe I'm the one that needs to throw a punch, because I think I'm a fantastic judge. Let's go to the next one before I strangle you. Let's go to your boy, general manager for the Bucks, John Horst. I want you to guess.
We talked a lot of Milwaukee already tonight.
All right. Well, you know, dare I say we're going to talk a little more Milwaukee, but, you know, stick with us, folks. This is the only Milwaukee clip I have here. I want you to guess what John Horst had to say on the fit that new free agent addition Miles Turner brings to the Bucks. This one is 20 seconds long. Guess what John Horst had to say about the new Buck and Miles Turner.
How he fits to the Bucks?
Si, senor.
Horst will say, I think if you just look at our team and what we're trying to put together and the fit next to Giannis, we've been looking to build something like a front court like this. This is just, there's so many different ways you can build a team, but to have these two guys and how they can work off each other, and Giannis can get them open, knock down some threes, and then what they can do for these other guys on the team as well. I just think everything's just going to come together. It's going to look so great.
Miles is sitting there as the best free agent in all of the market, and you looked at ways in which we could potentially get to that and truly take our team and retool it, rethink it, modernize our style of play, impact Giannis and his development and his growth as a playmaker, the way that Doc put him in positions at the end of the season in the playoffs, and it just was a perfect fit.
Would you be upset if I said you got it wrong because you undersold it?
I think on that answer with that clip, I would say that's about as coin flip as a decision that we've had yet.
Good enough for me. Let's go to Cody Bellinger. Why not? He destroyed my Chicago Cubs. Why is that prevalent? Well, he used to be a Chicago Cub. Cody Bellinger, 3 home runs today. The Yankees destroyed the Cubs 11-0. It was basically batting practice in the Bronx. I don't feel good about the rest of the series, but, you know, Cody Bellinger, who the Cubs could not find money for because they had traded for Kyle Tucker, and they figured it was a 1-1 split. Hey, we bring in Kyle Tucker, we got to ship out, you know, 20-plus million. So they decided to dump Cody Bellinger in essentially what was a salary dump. They traded him to the New York Yankees for relief pitcher Cody Petit. Cody Petit is not on the roster. Cody Petit is no longer in the organization. They promptly cut him. So they just gave away Cody Bellinger, really, for a little bit of cash.
Is he anywhere? Is he playing anywhere?
I don't know if he's in. I don't actually know if he got picked up by another team.
He did?
I don't know. He might still be out there looking for a job. And it was just crazy because he wasn't that bad of a reliever, but you knew it was a clear salary dump.
Oh, my God.
Go ahead.
You'll never guess this. He was just named to the All-Star team.
You're lying. Oh, I was saying, no way I missed that. But yeah, so Cubs, little sisters of the poor, they couldn't figure out how to pay both Bellinger and Kyle Tucker.
Orioles.
He's an Oriole? Okay, well, good for him. I'm glad that he landed somewhere. You know what's funny? It's always a divisional rival.
Oh, 60-day DL.
Oh, so he's hurt. Well, okay, anyway. Cody Bellinger, he gets to destroy his team, and now I want you to guess what he had to say on plane. His former team, this clutch is 14 seconds long. Guess what Cody Bellinger had to say about playing the Cubs.
Well, he had a really good night, so he might have gotten a little cocky about it. Yeah, it's great to see these guys. You know, you don't get to see them too much after you're with them for so long. It's nice to remind them. You know, I still got it a little bit, and it's just good to be there. But we got a game tomorrow, and, you know, we'll try to win again, try to win another one.
It was good to see him, man. We were hanging out. They were hitting early, and I've got a lot of good relationships over there. It's a really fun group of guys, and, you know, had an unbelievable time in Chicago, and, you know, I love all those guys over there.
Any problems with that one? You want to throw a punch here?
Yeah, my own face.
Good. Yeah, you didn't get that one. 1-2 going into our fourth clip, and we're going to go to the big dumper, the home run leader in the American League, Cal Raleigh, for the Seattle Mariners. He is absolutely tearing the cover off of the ball. He's in rarefied air. He even got compared to Barry Bonds. I don't know if you saw some of those, these comments that people didn't talk about Kyle Rowley, but basically he's one off of pace to Barry Bonds, all-star, you know, getting into the all-star game. He's hit his 37th and 38th home run against the Tigers. He's within one of Barry Bonds' 2001 Major League record for homers before the all-star break. Obviously, he has two more games to break that record. So I want you to guess what he had to say.
We got a problem here.
Go ahead.
So Cal Rally stats are my WTF of the night, so you're going to need to come up with something for me for next segment.
Now. That's fine. I got a couple seconds to figure that out. So I want you to guess what he had to say on being in the same conversation with Barry Bonds. This one's 14 seconds long. Guess what the big dumper had to say.
Ah, it doesn't make sense, man. It's just so unbelievable. I'm just trying to go out there and put the... you know, put the bat on the ball. And what he was able to do as a hitter was so iconic and legendary. You just can't think about that kind of stuff. It's just crazy. It's crazy to be even mentioned like that.
You know, trying to go hit a home run is probably not going to help me. So, you know, I'm going to do my best to just stay within myself these next 2 days. And like I said, help the team win. And, you know, the rest hopefully will take care of itself. If not, it'll be okay.
Here's where you're going to get the point. Because he, you know, just like you, he kind of like humbled and downplayed it. He's just like, nah, no big deal.
Is this the quietest? Like, why aren't we going crazy about this?
It really is because he plays for the Mariners. If he played for, I hate to say big market, but if he played for a team that wasn't on the West Coast that we were, you know, more people were familiar with, I think this would be a huge deal. He's destroying home runs at a record pace. I think he's going to at least match the Barry Bonds all-star home run
man,
record.
You know,
and no one's giving any buzz.
This whole thing, and I complain that like Milwaukee doesn't get its due, and you guys always get mad when something happens to Milwaukee. Forget Milwaukee. Anything west of the Mississippi just gets buried. This East Coast bias, not only is it real, it is stronger than I've ever thought it was. And I'm so thankful to be on a network that emanates out of New York, and I get to be here in my dumpy little town so I don't have to fall into the brainwash trap just because you guys got two teams in every league. You think you're God's gift just because the TV network's all broadcasting a five-block radius from each other that you set the agenda for the day. You know, you guys are done with work sometimes, some of you out there, before people on the West Coast even took their morning poop. Get over yourselves.
I want to remind everybody that I'm from Chicago. Are you good there? Can we get you off the soapbox?
I just figured that most of my East Coast listeners are asleep right now, and the West Coast is listening, so I'm pandering.
Yeah, you're getting, the left side of your ear is getting cheers from everybody in California, Oregon, Washington, and the right side, you're getting nothing because you're absolutely right. It's almost 2 o'clock on the East Coast. They're definitely asleep. But no, you're right. I do hate it because... Yeah. Same thing with Mike Trout. Mike Trout, generational player.
The others are like, hey, this guy said he went to Superman. What channel is Rich Valdez on?
Pat Caputo was right. Last one here. That brings the total up to 2-2. Let's get our last clip here so Jennifer Williams can actually get to an update and not have to go so past the clock, Bart. Here's your tiebreaker. I want you to guess what Major League Baseball Players Association Deputy Executive Director, we're really going down the barrel here, Bruce Meyer. I want you to guess what he had to say on if a salary floor would be good for baseball. Now, this is courtesy of Foul Territory with Ken Rosenthal. He has too many bow ties, but he does good work for baseball. This is 23 seconds long. I want you to guess what Bruce Meyer had to say on if a salary floor would be good for MLB.
That's like impossible.
It's not impossible. I've heard the answer. It's one way or the other.
I don't even know who this guy is. Okay, I'm sorry. I know that in the system that I have, we have saved cuts of Bruce Meyer, so I was going to cheat, but I can't. I don't think they saved that one. All right. on a salary floor. Well, of course it's good. You got these teams have to be competitive. It's good for our players. It's good for our league. You know, the league doesn't want to do it. It's good. It incentivizes, you know, we got to get teams competitive. We can't just have owners not trying. Pay these guys.
To be clear, the league's conception of a floor has always been, we're going to take money from a team that wants to spend it and give it to a team that doesn't want to spend it and somehow make them spend it. But at the end of the day...
All right, just end it. Give me the wrong transforming and let's move on with our lives.
Where nobody can compete. It's really the opposite of competition.
Shut him down.
You know, it's really what it is a form of collusion.
Shut him down. Shut him down. Give me it wrong.
You're right there?
Did you hear me trying to shut it down?
Oh, no, I did. But I know somebody needed it, and we wanted to hear what Bruce Meyer had to say.
Oh, you're right. You're right.
We never play Bruce Meyer audio.
You're right.
We may never play Bruce Meyer audio. So I felt like I wanted to give him his 23 seconds of fame. That being said, you were right to be upset because you were nowhere near DeBar Park. It was a 50-50 coin toss, and you flipped heads when you should have flipped tails. So that means...
You get nothing. You lose. Good day, sir.
And that's guess what they said.
And this is an update from Jennifer Williams. Because I put mothballs in the beef stew. Punishment time. Hey, all right. Bart Simpson. This is the Bart Winkler Show. Carlos Ortiz alongside David Shepard coming up next. I got about a minute for Flute in D.C. What's up, Flute?
Hey, what's up there, Bob? Glad you got to me, man. Hey, look here. You were talking about the WNBA part of scheduling. You know, they have a really good product. And I think, like you say, they should move it back a little bit in April, so they can kind of combine it with the WNBA as far as promotional. And especially when you have teams like Chicago Sky playing in New York Liberty, I don't think it'll be hurt. Or it'll be helpful if you had like a doubleheader, you know, the Knicks against the Bulls, whatever, game, you know, kind of put the teams together so it seems as though, like when the San Antonio Spurs had the San Antonio Silver Stars, you know, it was almost like that was one team. It's dismantled now. You know, you had Becky Hammon because he came over from one league to the next. It was like a combination. And it started out really great with that Houston Comets team. They won four straight championships under Van Chancellor. So they was off to a really, really good start. And
now they're
a
distant memory.
There. Yeah, because I live right across the street from the Care First Arena where the Mystics play. So I see all these beautiful, tall women coming and going all the time. And I've always been a WNBA fan because I went to a nationally ranked high school. The women's team was nationally ranked. So I've always had an interest, you know, in women's basketball. But they have a good product.
Yeah, I got an interest.
Too. Yeah, just move it back a little bit and combine it with that WNBA in the NBA, and I think it'll really work. The teams that have, you know, teams in both cities.
Flute, thanks for the call. And also, just don't schedule the WNBA finals during NFL football. It's stupid. It's time for our WTF.
You don't have to go home, but we have to get the heck out of here. Here's tonight's Winkler's Thrilling Factoid.
What? Bro, what are you talking about, man?
Your nightly WTF.
What did you say?
Wait. WTF? What the?
Oh, my God.
Only on the Bart Winkler Show.
It's time for our Thrilling Factoid. I got two for you from the world of baseball. First, Cody Bellinger. You heard him and guess what they said? We've been talking about him on the updates throughout the night. Cody Bellinger, 3 home runs tonight. It was his first game against a former team that is the first player ever to hit 3 home runs against their former team in their first game against said team. Good job on Cody Bellinger. Jacob Mizorowski, an all-star. We know that as we've been talking about just 5 games. And then gets into the All-Star game. Last year, Skeens got in after just 11 games. Last year, Paul Skeens was 6-0 when he entered the All-Star break. That was the best record at the break by a pitcher who had started the All-Star game. Skeens is likely to start again. He is 4-8 entering the break in 2025. That would be the worst record ever by a pitcher to start the All-Star game. Last year at this time, his ERA was 1.90. This year, it's 2.01. So the ERA is basically the same. But Skeens was 6-0, and this year he's 4-8. So that goes to any argument you want to shut down pitcher wins as a stat. And since we're on the topic, let me just say one more time to either reiterate or if you have not heard, my take on Jacob Mizorowski being named to the All-Star team, Brewers relief pitcher, just 5 games. I obviously am okay with it. If you're not okay with it, if you don't like it, if you think someone should have got in, if you're mad about it, if you're going to be mad about it when you wake up tomorrow, that's weird, but that's fine. That's up to you. That's up to you. It's your opinion. However, you have disqualified yourself from ever again saying that MLB does not do enough to promote their young stars. Can't do it. Want to thank Carlos Ortiz, Jennifer Williams, all of you. We'll be back Monday. It's the Bart Winkler Show.
Thank you for listening to the Bart Winkler Show. Listen live Monday through Friday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 Pacific.